Winter's high heating bills will soon be here. But did you know you can get money back for making your home more energy efficient? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's true. New legislation passed this summer will give homeowners significant rebates and tax credits for energy-efficient home improvements. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so this is all part of the massive Inflation Reduction Act passed in August. And what home improvements have to do with curbing inflation? We don't know. But the act provides billions of dollars for homeowners who make improvements that save energy. The rebates and tax credits cover a range of improvements, from installing new electric appliances to beefing up your home's insulation in the attic and crawl spaces. By making all the improvements listed in the legislation, you could receive up to $14,000 in rebates and tax credits and up to a 30% rebate on the cost of installing solar panels. The aim behind all this is to make homes less reliable on fossil fuels for heating by getting homeowners to replace gas appliances for those which run on electricity, which, of course, is generated by fossil fuels. So whether it'll actually reduce our dependence on coal and gas is up for debate. Proponents of the new legislation argue that local electric utilities are gradually moving to greener energy sources, and as they do, your electricity usage will become greener too. What those greener energy sources might be, we can only speculate. At any rate, if you've been thinking about making any home improvements to lower your energy costs, this is a big incentive, and here are some examples. If your natural gas furnace is getting old, you could replace it with an electric heat pump and get a big rebate. Of course, heat pumps are more suitable in the South. The further north you go, the less efficient they become, so they're definitely not for everybody. If you need a new water heater and the old one uses natural gas, you can get a rebate for swapping it out for an electric heater. Of course, you'll probably save money by installing any new appliance, simply because newer models tend to be more energy efficient. A new energy-friendly water heater alone could save you hundreds of dollars a year. You can also save a bundle by weather stripping and beefing up the insulation in your home. But now, thanks to this legislation, you can get a rebate for it. Now, I wouldn't go out of the way to make these improvements, but again, if you've been thinking about doing one or more of them and budgeting for them, well, it's a great opportunity to save some money. Depending on your income, the legislation allows for up to $8,000 back for installing a heat pump, $1,750 for something called a heat pump water heater, nearly $850 for installing a new electric range, and a heat pump clothes dryer. If you're thinking that adding all of these new appliances might put a severe strain on an older home's electric panel and wiring, well, you're right. You can almost hear the breakers clicking off across America. So the bill will give you up to $4,000 for upgrading your electrical panel and $2,500 for new wiring. But I can assure you, rewiring a house will cost a lot more than that. You can also get up to $1,600 back for sealing and insulating your ductwork. Now, I mentioned that the amount you get back depends on your income. If you make between 80 and 150% of the median income in your area, you can get back 50% of the cost of these improvements, up to the $14,000 limit. If your income is below 80% of your area's median income, you can get back the full cost of the improvements. Federal tax credits for installing residential solar panels have been in place for years, but the legislation boosts them from 26% of the cost to 30% and extends them until 2032. Tax credits for other energy efficient improvements include $600 for new windows, $500 for doors, and $2,000 for heat pumps. It would be a good idea to consult a tax professional before making any expensive energy-reducing improvements to your home. You want to make sure you're eligible for credits, and if so, how much? Rebates are a different story. That part of the legislation will be handled by states, so the details on how to apply for them will vary. You should check your state's website for more information or contact your local electric utility. One last word about this legislation: regardless of how you might feel about it, reducing energy costs by making your home more fuel efficient is good stewardship, and even without the rebates and tax credits, most of these improvements will pay for themselves in lower utility bills over the long run. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. Sharing your faith is a team sport. In fact, one of the biggest misconceptions about faith sharing is that it will always end with a person praying to accept Christ. I've been sharing my faith every day for 40 years, and if I believed that, I wouldn't have gotten beyond day one. Almost no one accepts Christ in one conversation. More often than not, there's been seed sown and watered, a process, and you are a part of that process, a privileged part. You know what? Sometimes you get to be the one to carry the person across the finish line. But in the meantime, Scripture reminds you that the Lord has assigned to each a task, some to seed and some to water. And get this, God will give the increase. Get help sharing your faith at igniteamerica.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Delighted to have you along with us today as we round out the week and gather together to apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions. Let's do that together as you call 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind. Are you discouraged about your financial situation and wondering how to proceed? Maybe it's about the priority use of God's resources. Do you pay down debt? Do you start the giving you've been wanting to do for a long time? Or maybe you should save for the future. Maybe you're not contributing to that 401k and you're nervous about the market. Well, whatever it is you're thinking about today, we'd love to hear from you. Let's tackle it together. Again, lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also today, a few of your emails. Thanks for reaching out to us every day with lots and lots of emails. We try to read as many of them on the air as we can. By the way, you can create a free MoneyWise account when you head to moneywise.org, and that will allow you to jump into our MoneyWise community. Every day, stewards just like you are posting questions and sharing ideas with one another in our MoneyWise community at MoneyWise.org. Just click the community button at the top of the page, or you can jump into the community in the MoneyWise app, which you can download from your app store. And I know you'll be encouraged as you see what folks are talking about, thinking about, and as they encourage one another. So feel free to jump into that community. Just create your free account first. Again, moneywise.org. All right, let's head to the phones today. 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Tennessee. Hey, Marie, thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Good morning. My question to you is, I am a late bloomer. I did not start saving like I should have, and now I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah.
But I've had concern with my 401k losing all the money, and I decided to stop contributing to it. And I'm just wondering if you could give me some advice on should I go back to contributing but change it up. I've got it in a Vanguard mid-cap, I guess it is. And I'm wondering if I should put it like in a money market with Vanguard.
Yeah, very good. What is your age, Marie, if you don't mind me asking?
67.
Okay, and how long do you plan to continue to work?
One more year.
Okay, and at that point, have you thought through what your expenses will be? What will your retirement budget look like? And then have you compared that to the income sources you'll have?
Yes, and I'm in good shape.
Okay, so will you be relying exclusively on Social Security since you are behind on your savings? Or tell me about those income sources.
Well, and I'm married, so a combination of retirement, Social Security, retirement from the government on my husband's side.
Okay.
And so we're in pretty good shape, no debt.
Great. Good. Okay, glad to hear it. Yeah, that'll allow you to live modestly in retirement. So what you're trying to accumulate over the next year is really surplus that you'll allow to continue to grow. And then if you needed to tap it for long-term care or something unexpected in retirement, that's the primary purpose of this money we're talking about?
That's correct. But we do have good, we're with Medicare and also have retirement benefits through the government for Medi-Cal. Medicare,
sure. Okay, very good. And what have you accumulated so far in this 401k?
About 20,000.
Okay, very good. And so you would obviously be planning on continuing, if that's the way you decide to go, contributing just for the next year. And then at that point, you would stop putting money aside and we would just let this grow. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
And I think what I was wondering is if I should try to go back to like putting $300 a paycheck or $400 a paycheck.
Yeah.
I just was thinking, I don't know anything about the money market, Vanguard money market, but I was thinking maybe that's what I should switch it over to instead of a mid cap.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, all that background information was helpful. And I think the key here is even though you only have a 1 year time horizon on your work, you have a much longer time horizon on this money. So if your bills are covered through your husband's retirement and Social Security for you and him, you're living modestly, you're out of debt, then this money, if the Lord tarries and you all are in good health, could just continue to grow for the next couple of decades or more. And so even though you're right on the cusp of retirement, we still do have a pretty long time horizon. Despite the fact that it's counterintuitive, I would encourage you, Marie, to stay invested. Not move it to a money market, but continue to systematically invest through salary deferral into the 401k and keep that money, both the new contributions and what you've already got there, invested in the market. I realize it's volatile. I realize it's scary. I realize you don't want to open those statements and see that it's down. But keep in mind, you're doing what's called dollar cost averaging, which means every time you make one of those systematic contributions from your paycheck into your 401k, you're buying more shares of real companies, because that's what we do when we invest. You're a small percentage owner of real companies with sales and earnings that are providing value to the world through their products and services. You're buying more shares with the same contribution because the prices are down, which means they're selling at a discount. It's called their price to earnings ratio. Those were very high after the last 12 years of the bull market that we experienced, and they've come down. They're more reasonable now. This is where we want to buy. Now, could the market go down from here? Sure, it absolutely could. But what I can tell you is, and we saw a taste of this over the last 4 weeks prior to this past week, is that once the market is convinced that inflation's coming down, and the Federal Reserve is going to take their foot off the gas pedal, and the economy is going to recover, and it will probably sometime in the next year. Well, prior to that, the market will take off because there's literally trillions of dollars on the sideline ready to be deployed when it looks like the economy is going to recover, which is why we don't ever want to try to time the market. When's the right time to get out? And when do I get back in? It's just not possible to do. So what we do is we continue to systematically invest, knowing that a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio is the very best way to overcome inflation and build wealth, as long as it's done in light of our goals and objectives. So for somebody like you, you'd probably want, you know, maybe 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds. You could go 50-50. So it would be what's called a balanced mutual fund or portfolio inside your 401k. But despite the volatility and some of the downward pressure we've seen this year, I think this is an opportune time for you to continue to invest over the next 12 months. Let what's already declined through market losses come back. Remember, those are unrealized losses. Let your new contributions buy in at lower levels, which is where we are today, and then let this recover. And I think over the next, 10 or 20 years, which potentially is how long you have to let this grow until you might need it, or you might pass it on as an inheritance or give it away to a church or ministry, it will do well. And I think you'll certainly do far better than you will in money market, where you're actually losing purchasing power every month because of the effects of inflation. Does that all make sense, though?
It sure does. I deeply appreciate your help, but that helps. That's going to help me, and I can explain it to my husband. That sounds
good.
Really good.
Very good. And if he has further questions, have him call into the program or write us at questions@moneywise.org. God bless you, Marie. Thank you for checking in with us today. Well, folks, we've got some lines open. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Coming up a little later on the broadcast, speaking of the markets, our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry joins us each Friday in our final segment to weigh in on the past week's market activity and economic data. There's always data pouring in. Jerry's a data guy, and so he's scrubbed the numbers, and he'll tell us what the latest is with regard to the economy and the markets and what we might expect moving forward. He always does it through a biblical lens as well. Hey, we'd love to hear from you with whatever's on your mind at 800-525-7000. We're going to take a quick break, but much more to come on MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stick around.
AFA
Excellence.
American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Again, 800-525-7000. Give us a call with whatever is on your mind, financially speaking. All right, let's head to New Orleans. Michael, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Morning. I know that the rates for the I-bonds have just recently changed, and I had been keeping up with it. So could you tell me what those rates are? And is it still a great idea to take money I have and put into that? And I do have some money on the sidelines for a while. And so would that be still a good investment?
Yeah, very good. I like the I bonds, but you've got to have it in the right bucket. And here's what I mean by that. You know, as we think about our money, we've got various buckets that are tied to the time horizon and the ultimate goal or the use of the money. So bucket number one would be your emergency fund. This is money that needs to be immediately accessible and safe because it's for the unexpected. And by definition, that can happen at any time. So we need to keep that in a liquid savings account. And then another bucket might be that money that we've got a 1 to 5 year time horizon on. So we can do without it for 12 months, but we're going to need it in less than 5 years, or at least we expect to. That would be where I'd put the I bond money. The third bucket is longer than 5 years, and that's where we're going to do better. Even with these attractive I bond rates, we're going to do better in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, or even a real estate, real asset type investment, because we can let that grow and compound over time. And these I bonds, these exceptionally attractive interest rates, are temporary. What we had with the 9.62% that expired at the end of April, that was incredible. Well, now it's down to 6.8% for the next 6 months, and it'll most likely come down again when it resets in May. So this is temporary, which is why we don't want to pull money out of stocks, especially with the market down, and invest in I bonds. And we don't want to put long-term money in the I bonds because, we'll do better over the long haul, taking advantage of the compounding growth in the market, especially since we don't know when the recovery will occur, probably sometime later this year or next year. But if you have some funds, Michael, that fit into that 1 to 5 year category, that's where these are really attractive, because even at the current rate, 6.8%, you've got zero risk because it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And you can pull it out with, any time after a year. Now, it's a 30-year bond, but if you pull it out after a year and less than 5 years, the only penalty you have is just they'll take back the last 3 months' worth of interest. So when you redeem the bond anytime after 12 months, the interest gets credited, and then if it's less than 5 years, they'll subtract 3 months' worth. Getting that 6.8% and whatever it will be when it resets in May, which will still be fairly attractive because we don't see inflation going away anytime soon, I think still makes a lot of sense as long as it's, the right category of money. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, and I am in that 5 year bucket where where I can use some money for that. I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to a financial planning organization, and their charge is like 1.2% per quarter. Is that sounds right for a planning? I mean, for a fee only
money management.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say.
Yes, sir, it does. Yeah, somewhere between 1% and 1.5%, depending upon how much you have to invest, is probably about right for active money management. So this is what I would call a discretionary, probably investment advisor. This is a fiduciary, typically, who's taking responsibility for your money, acting on your behalf with your goals and objectives in mind and making the buying and selling decisions. That 1.25% fee based on the assets under management would be very typical and customary.
Very good. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Michael, thank you for your call today, sir. God bless you. To Ohio we go. Hey, Jackson, you're next on the program. How can I help you?
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call.
Doing well. I'm in the market for a used car, something about 3 or 4 years old. And I've been doing, it's a long time since we purchased a new car. We drive them like you do, till they drop.
Yeah.
And what I was wanting to know, we've done our due diligence on them, but are platforms such as CarMax or Carvana a good choice to try to purchase a car?
Yeah, I like them. I think you just have to understand, you know, with everything, there's pros and cons. So what are the pros of going to a CarMax or a Carvana? The pros are, well, it's, you know, they've got an easy to use interface for shopping online. And, you know, they make it really easy to go and see all the inventory when you show up on the lot. It's a no haggle, no pressure environment, which I know I appreciate. They do have typically a very wide variety of makes and models and model years. I love the fact that you typically get the 24-hour test drive and 30-day returns up to 1,500 miles, I believe it is, with CarMax. And, you know, they give it, you know, their kind of seal of approval on looking it over. And they do also have in-house financing. So all that sounds good, and it is. I mean, the downside is you might pay a little bit more than with a private purchase just because you've got a middleman, and, of course, they have overhead factors. Now, they're buying them at auction, so hopefully they're getting them at a discount, or they're taking them in from folks selling them to their, you know, buying them from private parties. But nevertheless, you know, and you could probably do better if you have plenty of time on your side and you're willing to just scour the country and find a private sale. You may have to pay extra to get the car shipped to your location. And then, you know, you have to visit the store to sell the car, although you're not selling, if it isn't eligible for an online quote. So I think from a buying perspective, you know, for me, I like to do all my research, decide what make, model, and year or years I want to buy. And then I just, you know, put everything on the table. CarMax, private sale, dealerships use lots. My last car, we bought 4 states away. I flew there, spent the night, and drove the car home because we found the car we wanted and we saved $3,000. So I would definitely put CarMax in the mix. And I think, you know, you'll benefit from some of the things that I mentioned. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure you're getting the price that makes sense. Is that fair?
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Your questions just around the corner.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What is really responsible for your Christian walk, your Christian growth? Is it just sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to zap you? How many of you have been zapped? No. And we wonder, why isn't this working? Well, we're looking for the wrong thing.
Don't miss Dr. David Jeremiah's message, A Life Beyond Amazing, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Election Day is November 8th. For the first time, iVoter Guide is covering select statewide ballot measures, some of which will affect voter identification laws and abortion. This important part of your voter guide is available now and can be found at the bottom of your personalized iVoter Guide ballot. To see the arguments for and against and other research, click on the More button or the amendment title. For all this information and more, please visit iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment of the broadcast, Jerry Boyer stops by with his market commentary, looking back over the week's data and market action, and also telling us what he's expecting moving forward. That's coming up in just a bit on the program. Back to the phones we go. Peggy, you've been incredibly patient there in Charlotte, North Carolina. How can I help you, ma'am?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am 80 years old and in good health, and my concern today is that I don't have enough money for my burial. My daughter purchased a burial plot for me, and my question is, I have a term life insurance policy that I have had for 18 years, but it only goes to 20 years, and after that, the premium is so high that I wouldn't be able to afford it. Should I cancel my current term policy and get perhaps a whole life policy with my credit union? The premium at the credit union would probably be about $112 a month for maybe $10,000.
Yeah.
And I was wondering which way to go.
Sure, and I certainly appreciate that. Yeah, you definitely don't want to continue on that term policy that's going to jump up sky high here after 2 years. Let me ask you, you know, the typical funeral costs all in is somewhere between $7,000 and, on the high end, $10,000, at the most, probably $12,000. With the plot already purchased, that's probably a couple of thousand of it. So we're probably talking somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000 or $8,000. Do you have that available in savings or other assets that could be converted?
I do not, but I want to tell you that I have a good income. This is the strange part. I don't know if you want me to tell you what my income is. But
that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. It's the Social Security is about $2,000, and then I have a trust that I get $2,400 a month, but it will only last probably another 7 or 8 years, the trust.
Okay.
And that will be deleted. I have some debt also. I have a truck, and I owe about $15,000 on it, and I have a credit card with the bank, and that's $5,000, and a credit union loan of about $9,000, so I'm in about $29,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. I live in an apartment. My rent is almost $1,200 a month. That does not include utilities, or I have to have renter's insurance and so forth.
Yeah.
So monthly, and I'm helping my grandson a lot with his health insurance and dental insurance.
Yeah.
And actually, he has the truck. I have a little Corolla that I'm still driving, and I do like it. It's 2009, but it's fine.
Sure.
So at the end of the month, I mean, I really am just breaking even, as ridiculous as that might sound, because that's a good bit of income.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering, is if we kept the term policy for 2 years, if over the next 2 years you could put away enough that you would be able to cover the rest of the burial expenses beyond the plot through savings, and then we could just drop the insurance altogether. But it sounds like that, you know, given the $4,400 in income you have and the assistance you're giving to your grandson, there's not a whole lot of margin there that you could use to build up some savings. Is that right?
At this time, unless I pull back on and, you know, don't give my grandson as much, you know, which is a possibility, you know.
And it might be, and I don't know anything about the situation, but that may not be a bad thing. You know, I'm just saying typically, you know, he comes to rely on that assistance, unless there's an extenuating circumstances, and maybe there is. But just for the average grandson who's relying on his grandmother for assistance, it kind of takes some of the incentive away to go out and provide for himself and, you know, develop his own spending plan and try to increase his income over time and get on his own 2 feet. And so you pulling back may not be a bad thing. And if you could do it in such a way that you continue on the current track so that by the time 7 and 8 years go by and, you know, if the Lord tarries and you said you're in good health, ideally when that trust money runs out, we're debt free. You've got enough in savings for the rest of the burial expenses. And now all you have to do is order your budget around that Social Security, which at that point, you know, your grandson's completely off the payroll, you're out of debt, your expenses come down, you've dropped this insurance, and, you know, you make everything balanced just living modestly on Social Security. I think that would be the ideal scenario.
Yes, he did have some extenuating circumstances, but it's starting to shift in his favor at this time. Okay. So that is also helpful to me.
I think that may involve a conversation with him where you sit down and say, listen, here's where we're headed. This is what I need to do so I have enough in savings so, you know, your mom can take care of the burial expenses. We've already done the pre-planning, the plot's there, and I'm going to step this assistance down so you can get out on your own 2 feet. I'm glad the Lord's providing for you, and, you know, you have that hard conversation in love, and then at that point, you continue on the current track to get the rest of this debt retired, but we start to put money aside over the next 24 months while you're waiting for this term policy to run out so that you've got what you need in savings that you could access in an emergency, but it's really earmarked for funeral expenses.
Yes. So you think I should just keep it then for the next 2 years?
I do. What is the premium on that term policy?
It's $44.71 a month.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what's the death benefit?
$100,000.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to give it to my children and, you know, that's okay. Who the beneficiary was.
Sure. Yeah. So that's reasonable. And I think as long as that fits into your budget, you're probably at age 80, you're probably not going to do much better. I mean, you could look at a small burial policy and see if you could get that down even lower. I doubt you'll save a whole lot. So you're probably better off at this point just riding it out for the next 2 years at $44 a month. But let's create a plan so that when 2 years rolls around, you've got what you need in savings, or you're at least close to it or on your way there, so that you can drop this policy and feel good that you've got what you need in liquid assets for your daughter's benefit.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you so much for your wisdom.
Well, you're welcome, Peggy. I appreciate you calling today, and thanks for listening to the program. God bless you. Quickly to Jen in Kansas. Jen, how can I help you? Hi, Jen, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I assist you?
I was calling about what you opened up the program earlier about energy efficient tax rebates and write-offs. Wanting to know, would that also apply to possibly a new build, or is that just for home improvement?
Yes, it does apply to a new build. So if you look at that, the rebates, first of all, have been extended through 2032. And with a single family new home, there's $2,500 available for Energy Star certified homes. So you'd need to make sure in the build that you are going after the Energy Star certified build out, including the appliances. And then you've got the ability with some states to get rebates and credit as well. So it's probably good to check with your local utility. They're usually pretty knowledgeable about what rebates or credits you're eligible for your particular state, which it does vary quite a bit. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right.
I don't know if you have time, but one other question.
Well, if you want to stay there, we'll tackle it right on the other side of the break. So you hold Jen, Harland, and Belinda. We're coming your way. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Imagine we're Hebrew slaves in ancient Egypt. Chains and whips are all we've ever known. The hot Egyptian sun scorching everything in sight, but still we toiled away making bricks. And then this man named Moses showed up and claimed to be a representative from the Lord. And wouldn't you know it? He was right. The Lord used him to free us. As great as the Exodus was, it was always pointing forward to something better. Listen to the words of Revelation 1. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. From slave to priest, salvation. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either. But you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll head to our friend Jerry Boyer and get his comments on the market and the economy, looking back over this week's data and market action, and looking forward as to what we might expect in the days ahead. Just before the break, we were talking to Jen about tax credits, and she wanted to know if those are in place for this year for energy-efficient appliances, and the answer is yes. The tax credit is equal to 26% of the cost, including installation on energy-efficient appliances through this year, 22% for next year, and on that new home build, $2,500 is available for this year as well. Jen, thank you for your call. Before we head back to the phones, it's Friday, which means our friend Jerry Boyer joins us. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at the Christian Post, and check out his articles there at the Christian Post, and he's also active on social media as well. Jerry, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you as well.
How are you feeling? I know you were under the weather last week and didn't join us. I hope you're feeling better.
Well, mostly, but I think you can tell my voice is not 100% Boyer quality.
It's not, doesn't have the Boyer seal of approval quite yet. All right, well,
that does not.
50% of Boyer is better than most people on their best day, so I'll take it. Hey, Jerry, a lot of interesting market action. We had a lot of strength in the market, you know, the 4 weeks prior to this one, because they thought the Fed was going to take their gas foot off the gas pedal. The comments from the chairman, Powell, put that stopped right in his tracks. Give us your latest assessment on where we find ourselves today.
Yeah, that's right. For a few weeks, the trade was that the Fed is going to be mommy Fed rather than daddy Fed, this little unconditional love rather than tough love, for various reasons, comments that were made, and things having to do with the GDP report, which kind of looked worse when you looked at the details. And you see the market like respond initially, oh, GDP is pretty high. And then they read the details and like, oh, wait, there's some weakness that we didn't see before. And this week kind of reversed back. And I've made this point before. The Fed has a dual mandate. One is keep unemployment low, and the other is keep inflation low. The problem is within their framework, the way they think as Keynesians, those are opposites. You have to do one or the other. And so when we have situations where we think the economy or they think the economy is weakening, they're going to go back to inflation and be buyers in the market, putting money into the market. This week that reversed. A lot of it had to do with their meeting. And people ask me, well, you know, they raised the interest rate 75 basis points, and everyone knew they were going to raise the interest 75 basis points. So why did the market react at all? Well, that was already baked in. The market knew it was going to be 75, and the market believed that it was going to be 50 next time. And that's what he said, probably 50 next time. But they're thinking about how long it's going to be high. And he made some comments, the Fed made some comments that indicated this is going to last longer than we think. And that triggered basically a trade where, oh, the Fed's going to be tougher for longer. They're going to be pulling money out of the system, out of the markets, rather than putting money into the markets. And since the Fed is the world's largest investor now, it's grown like some kind of, you know, a mutant central bank that now owns more assets, more investments than any entity on earth. If it's a buyer, that's bad for markets. If it's a buyer, it's good for markets. If it's a seller, that's bad. And so this week, because what they said around the Fed meeting and some other bad news, the trades were basically anti-growth, bad for the market. Fed's going to be tough. That's what we saw this week. Gold, you know, for instance, gold dropping. Gold drops when they think the Fed is going to be tough. Gold goes up when they think the Fed is going to be easy.
Mm, interesting. Jerry, let's take one step back for a second. You're a historian, also a biblical scholar. The Fed's theory in terms of how they view the world and how they apply their thinking regarding our economy, where does it find its roots and how does that reconcile with a biblical worldview?
It finds its roots very much in Keynesian economics, and it's utterly severed from a biblical root. Keynes was basically the founder of modern economics, a member of the Cambridge Apostles. Give you an idea where they're coming from. If this is this exclusive Cambridge club, you know, only certain people can get in. And they would have a debate about who's allowed. And then they decided one day they're going to have a discussion about if God applied to our group, would we allow him in? And they had the debate, and they decided that he wasn't up to their standards. And they chanted, God out, God out, God out. These people went on to become the great literary figures, or let's say influential literary figures, and economic leaders of the 20th century. God out is still what's going on in our economics. And it's what Powell learned in his Ivy League education, and it's what Bernanke learned in his. And so we as Christians believe that we're made to be productive. We're supposed to be productive. It's not a bad thing when the economy is growing. They're taught that economic growth is kind of a bad thing. It causes inflation. And they're also taught that savings is a bad thing because if you save, you don't spend. And if you're not spending, you're not stimulating the economy. In the biblical worldview, you don't stimulate demand. Human beings already have infinite demand. You don't have to make us want more stuff. The fall makes us want plenty of stuff. Yep. The trick, what the Bible focuses on, is producing goods and services serving to other. And so Keynes completely inverted biblical economics, and that confusion got hard-coded into Ivy League educations and now into our policymakers, and that's why we're seeing such chaos in the markets now.
Well, and what you described is exactly what's going on, and it seems like it's been the recipe for all of the Federal Reserve board members leading up to this point, as long as I can remember.
Yeah, except maybe Paul Volcker. You can argue that Greenspan, at least early Greenspan, was more classical economics, and so that was called the Great Moderation. You know, prices were pretty stable for a while until there was a panic over Y2K and then money in and money out. But yeah, generally, the 20th century, including the Great Depression, was driven by Fed people who were following the economics of Keynes, because they were very good at getting control of universities, and the Ivy League universities train all of our top leaders, and so that's what they have to learn. They have to learn Keynesianism. Doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrats. All the top Ivy League schools teach Keynesianism, and that's what they're using, and that creates that weird dual mandate. So what they thought last week is, oh, the economy is running too hot. We better slow it down. Does any sane person think that the economy is running too hot?
Right.
Not anybody who's actually participating in it. But if you're isolated from that up in the up in the central bank and the government, where you don't have to actually shop and you don't have to actually look for a job and you're not actually dealing with neighbors who are having trouble economically, then you're isolated from that and you follow theory. The problem is the theory is at variance from the design of that God has for the universe of economics.
Fascinating. Well, Jerry, we could spend a lot more time on that, and perhaps we'll have to do that sometime. Maybe we'll do an entire show on that, because it's fascinating to understand the background, and I just so appreciate how you approach God's design for productive activity with Creator God and us created in His image and taking His creation and improving it for a virtuous cycle that ultimately leads to giving and generosity and economic expansion, and that's the way God created it, right?
Hallelujah. My friend Vernon Smith, a Nobel Prize winner who didn't get caught up by this, said economics is a doxology. He's a Christian Nobel Prize winner. He says economics is a doxology. You know, we sing praise God from whom all blessings. When the economy is working that way, it's like that. It's like praising God through whom all virtues come.
Wow, that's great. Well, Jerry, always appreciate your insights, my friend. You continue to get well, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research. You'll find his insightful columns at the Christian Post. He joins us each Friday with his market commentary. All right. Back to the phones we go. Here in our final moments of the broadcast today, we'll head to Nebraska. Gala, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm wondering, how do I access this federal program for saving on utilities purchasing appliances?
Yes. I would check with your local utility. They will typically have the most up-to-date information that includes both the federal tax credits, which you'll get just by virtue of you buying the qualifying appliances and, you know, reporting that on your tax return, and your CPA can help you with that. This year in particular, you can get credit equal to 26% of the cost, including installation, through the end of this year. It drops to 22% next year. And so you'll want to just make your CPA aware of that and make sure you're getting the energy efficient appliances. With regard to states, each state has different incentives in place, and so you'll want to check with, your local utility. They're typically up on that and can give you the details for your area, okay?
Okay. And what was the name of this federal program?
I actually don't know the official name, but it's basically just the most recent legislation that affects the IRS tax code that allows for energy efficient appliances to offer rebates.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Thank you for calling today. Harland and Belinda, I so appreciate you calling today. I apologize we didn't get to your questions. If you want to hold on the line, we'll get your information and see if we can get you on first on Monday. We appreciate you weighing in on the program today. Thank you very much. Folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Always appreciate it. I'm still thinking about what Jerry just said. A lot of insights there on the roots of Keynesian economics and where we find ourselves today with the Fed and monetary supply and the U.S. debt levels and what all that means for the future. At the end of the day, we need to trust God. He is our provider. He will not abdicate that role and responsibility to anyone or anything else. So here's the key, folks. We want to be found faithful with what passes through our hands, holding it loosely, living within our means, having contentment central in our lives, not taking our cues from this world, keeping an eternal perspective, and giving generously to our church and the people on our path. And when we do that, we put ourselves in an experience. In a position to experience God's best. Hey, thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Jim Henry. Grateful for Pat Montague and Devin Patrick as well. I couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and then come back and join us on Monday, will you? Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.